Red Radio. Delicious. Fish gosh tastes great with salsa. Great with salsa. This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show.
Redhead senorita, look at that cape of satin, need a bed in Espanol. Say, give a drink of water, I'm gonna sing around the collar, and I don't need a microphone.
This is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Hamilton Film Studios, Palma Pasta, Cannabis Med Ed, and our newest sponsors, Freedom Construction and Ringside MD. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-833-437-8465. That's 1-833-HF-STINK. And now from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center, here are Humble and Fred.
Yeah, we are. We are here. What a show. What a show. If you wanted a show, you got a show. It's your one-stop shopping for a show. We're going to talk to some more people from the Cannabis Med Ed, but the conversation today about an unbelievably efficient delivery system for THC, that's coming up. Retirement Sherpa's on the way. This program... Hi there.
Good morning, all. One and all.
How are you today? Good to be here.
And let me tell you about Palma Pasta.
Just hold on a second. We'll get some Palma Pasta.
What are we doing? Okay. I was there yesterday.
Well, right on, man.
I was at one of the satellite stores.
Were you really?
Yes.
Nice. Yes. Can I get Gig Sky, please?
Pure Ontario and the Queensway.
Oh, nice. I know where that is. Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, four locations of Palma Pasta. We've been talking about Palma's Kitchen, but, you know, there are other locations. I was at that one yesterday at the Queensway and Highway 10. I got these things, and I don't know the word. It's aniloti or something. It's like, you know, gnocchi, but bigger.
Mm.
And it was stuffed with goat cheese and squash.
Ooh.
With some of their tomato sauce poured over top. Just absolutely outstanding. Plus, I got one of their pizzas, sort of personal, good for two people, with prosciutto on it and some bocconcini cheese.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Just an idea of what you can get at Palma Pasta. You know, they have hot stuff, pasta, meats, pizza, soups, cold stuff, salad, sandwiches, and frozen groceries as well. Very, very, you know, it's great. You go there on a Monday, you can get food for the whole week, put it in the freezer, use it as you need it. You know that concept, Howard. PalmaPasta.com, go there, you'll get, you know, you can see all the items they have, and now part of Skip the Dishes.
Yeah, man.
Palma Pasta.
Do it. Do it. No, I'm just watching your, maybe back off like a little tiny bit there.
Really?
Well, only because I don't know how to. I don't want to adjust it while we're actually doing this. I'll tell you what we do want to do is get you hooked up with a Gig Sky for the summer. You know the Apple. What phone is it, Phil? It's in the iPhone.
The XS, I think.
Yeah, it's come 10, standard yeah. issues. What we're trying to say. Mm-hmm. If you're at all technically inclined, don't you know, even if you're not. But if you want to get that Apple, the Gig Sky SIM is, you know, it just comes with it.
Mm-hmm. The eSIM.
The eSIM. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phyllis. You can head over to our website and buy the Gig Sky Hotspot. Originally $199.99, it's now $129.99. And what a savings, not only because you're not, you know, hooking up with your normal carrier and spending that kind of money. Mm-hmm. But you get to hang out with your friends. People traveling with you can use your hotspot.
Take it to more than one country.
Thank you,
yes.
Philly.
Regional plans, too.
Oh, Phil. You're good.
Phil has all the answers.
Oh, Phil. That's Gig Sky. Go to our website. You can click on the Gig Sky banner, gigsky.com. And great to be with you on this. I don't even know what this is. It's another overcast gray day in the spring of 2019. Can't ignore it. Can't ignore it. You were just telling me a few minutes ago that, when Winnipeg and Regina have better weather than we do, we need to get a refund.
The prairies are in a, I guess you could call it a heat wave, mid to upper 20s, and then humidex in the early 30s. So for May there, I guess that's a heat wave.
Mm-hmm.
And all that jet stream thing, I just want to go grab it and move it. But you can't do that.
Yeah, no.
I just want to grab it and like pull it down or up or whatever you have to do.
So what is it doing? It's kind of making it's going around the prairies and then coming up.
South of the Great Lakes, which is pushing, you know.
All like the good weather south.
We're getting the cold air. So the jet stream is above the prairies, down below the Great Lakes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So then we're getting that Arctic air to the east, and they're getting the tropical air to the west.
Oh, I don't know about you. I'm not getting it at all. I'm serious. I don't get it. Like,
and it's been stuck in place since early April.
Yeah.
I saw one of the weather experts, not Dan Duran.
No.
Another one on CTV News last night, trying to explain how this weather system has just been stuck in place. It will not move.
Oh, no. It's not going anywhere.
Weather report. Humble and friend weather report.
We're on the wrong side of the Lombada. That's the thing.
Is that what they call it?
You have to crawl under.
Lombada.
Nice weather.
What the hell?
No, it's funny because you talk about a heat wave. Like, I remember growing up
in the prairies
and no humidity. Never felt humid weather until I moved to Vancouver, but they're not supposed to have, you know, highs in the 20s, feels like 30s at this time of the year. Something's going on. I don't care what you say.
However,
the climate is changing.
However.
I'm singing.
They were saying last night, this is why, I mean, you got to put it, and believe me, I'm not a denier, but they were saying this summer, like this May is similar to one like in 1946.
Yeah, of course.
That keeps popping up. It's when the pattern is stuck in place for, when we got to worry is when like 2 or 3 or 4 years in a row that we get this. So
yeah,
if that happens.
Listen, you're a smart guy.
Yeah, I try.
You're smart enough. You know what? Let me put it this way. You're smart enough. So even you at, you know, I shouldn't say even you. That's not what I meant to say. A smart person like yourself knows the difference between climate and weather. And, you know, weather patterns come and go. And that's what people who deny, and I know you said you're not denying it, that there's a change. But what people always grasp onto is that, well, we had the same weather back in the blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Weather isn't what we're talking about. We're just talking about extreme weather. And sure, there were times on the prairie.
Would you call this extreme weather?
No.
No, okay. Right.
No, extreme weather is...
That's my point.
Yeah, this isn't extreme weather. Listen, mm-hmm. This is a bit on our show. It's a drag, but it's just a bit.
Oh, no, right.
No, I'm saying extreme weather are those just multiple hurricanes and multiple years of disastrous, chaos, you know,
right.
Just catastrophic weather.
Oh, right.
This little stuff that we're having.
No, I know.
It's not.
But I'm saying that works both ways. Those that are obsessed with climate change and... you know, they got to watch it, too, because often they'll lean on, oh, look at this, you know, the weather we're getting right now is part of that. You know what I'm saying? It just works both ways. And somewhere in the middle is the truth, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. So there's hysteria, you know, people can be hysteric over it.
We're pretty extreme over it.
Yes. Yeah. And then there can be people that can be blasé. In the middle is the truth.
Extremely lazy.
Yes.
I think it's time that we did a whole show of...
on the weather?
I would. No, I was going to do a whole show of weather-related music. Come on, people.
Mm-hmm.
Crowded House. Yep. Boom. 97.3.
What a band.
Missed it. Walking round the room singing stormy weather. Come on, everybody.
This band puts me in a good mood, man.
Listen to Phil. Go, Phil.
Well, it's the same world, but everything's different.
Do it, Phil.
You can find the reed, but not the tree.
Take it home.
You know, I can't remember very well. Things I'm cooking. You know you're from New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
Kitchen.
Yes. Yeah.
That accent.
Yeah, Brit.
Trying
Brit.
However. They're from New Zealand.
Yes.
But it's often said Australia because there's a couple of members from Australia and a lot
via
of
Melbourne.
And
yeah.
Most of the work was produced in Australia.
Here comes the big hook. You guys ready? Come on, Phil. Oh no, it's a pre-chorus.
Like, yeah, 13 seconds.
I hate
seconds.
The pre-chorus.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, I don't think that the weather we're having is any indication of what's happened to the climate. It's the extreme weather, and then you know, I know you had this discussion with our boy Dan Duran, weatherman for a big television outfit. there are those people that think that we've, you know, taken this thing too far, and maybe we should listen to those voices at times, too.
Which voices?
The voices that we've gone too far, and there's no...
Oh, absolutely. You got to. Of course you do.
You know, the old thing. Was it you that said the best time to plant a tree? That time?
Yeah, The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Yeah, and they say that about a lot of things, including investment. But if we can't get a bunch of us organized over the next little while, I mean, really, I'm not talking about us. We're going to retire. But, like, you know, governments and people, it's the people that deny that there's something that we should possibly get started doing. I know people have started doing
stuff. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know.
It only stands to reason as time goes on and population goes up and technology. Although, you know, sometimes when you think about technology, it can actually help the environment. Because as we move away from, say, manufacturing and, mining and all those things to high tech, it shouldn't pollute the way that
the world pollutes.
Industrial, like during the Industrial Revolution in the early, 40s and 50s when black smoke was chugging out of every factory in town, you know?
Well, and then, just like the president and his attitudes and policies have made comfortable some people and their racist feelings, you know? Like people have come out and gone, oh, well, the president's kind of racist-ish, so I can be.
Yes.
The guy that was elected president is the Paris Accord, and whether it was a bad deal or not, maybe it was, but it's a symbolic thing. And the fact that we're going to bring coal mining jobs back and all those things contribute.
He always says clean coal.
Clean coal.
How clean is coal?
Listen, the fact that they're, I don't know if you woke up out of a coma and all of a sudden you tuned into the news a couple of weeks ago and they're voting against abortion in Alabama. You think, what year did I just wake up in?
Right.
You know?
And you can be against abortion.
Sure.
I mean, when you think about it, it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Aborting a child. But the thing is, it's not my choice. It's not a nice thing, but it's not my decision, you know? So if you can be against all abortion all you want, but it's none of your business.
Ricky Gervais has got a great line. Yeah. He said, all these fundamentalists are, so concerned with the life of the fetus, until it grows up and it becomes gay. And then they want nothing to do with it.
No, of course. Or as we were saying last week, too, it's like, they want to protect the fetus, but once the fetus starts going to school, it's okay. It's okay to leave the gun laws in place.
Like, they don't care.
Because nothing happens in American schools.
Nope.
With guns.
No, exactly. Okay, switching gears here. I don't know if there's an example. I just saw this, and I thought I'd throw it by you. Just a fun little fantasy fun game to
throw
play.
It.
I'm going to throw it at you. Just to see if you can come up with an equivalent that's not golf. But it's one of those things I saw. That's an interesting riddle. And here's the question. You get 1,000 shots. Now, this is not for you or for me, but just say a golfer was given this option. You get 1,000 shots to make a hole-in-one on a 100-yard one.
We've done this on the show before.
Have we?
I did. I asked you this question
several
months ago. Go ahead.
No, I don't think
how
it's
many
the same
you
thing.
Would get.
No.
Oh, how many?
Completely
okay.
Different.
All right,
but you've scared me.
Oh, okay.
It was close enough to scare me.
That's a hole in one.
Yeah.
You get 1,000 shots to make a hole in one on a 100-yard par 3, no wind.
Right.
If you make it, you get $1 billion.
Oh.
If you don't, you go to a maximum security prison for a year. Now, I was going to just try to know it.
That's just dumb.
It is, but I just thought I'd throw it at, because I was thinking, would I take that bet for $1 billion? For $1 billion.
So how many shots do you get?
1,000 shots.
No, like, I don't take that. Come on, Howard. How many times?
But $1 billion.
How many 100-yard par threes have you faced in your life?
Thousands.
And how many hole-in-ones do you have?
Zeros.
So why would you even...
Because it's $1 billion, Freddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the billion.
No.
And then you're going to end up with some guy named Chuck as your lover.
At a maximum security.
Hey, come on. Everyone deserves love.
Don't feel you maximally secure.
Everybody no, I don't take that. I say no thanks.
You say no thanks?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. But I thought I'd throw it at you, though, because it is, like, you think, okay, for $1 billion, would you take the chance at something where the consequence was you had to go to prison for, like, real. Not, like, white-collar prison. Like, real prison.
Right.
Like,
not timeout.
You're getting tattooed.
General population.
Gen pop, obviously.
No, I don't go.
And
I don't go there.
Day one, you're being tattooed, and I'm not talking about with ink. $1 billion, though.
No. The $1 billion is, like, it's... Like, it's just so not going to happen. I mean, the... Well, again, look at you. You golf every day of your life.
No,
you're facing par...
Just
you're facing par three. You're 58 years old. You've been golfing since you were what? 10?
11.
11 years old, and you've never had a hole-in-one. You'd even consider that bet?
Well, here's why. Because I figured, wouldn't it just the odds would be at some point?
Yeah, but not during that 1,000.
Not during that. It'd be on the 1,000. You know, my
you'd
life,
be nervous.
It would be the 1,000. Well, the first 100, you'd be nervous.
Then you'd be thinking of...
Then you, by the time... I'll tell you when you would really get to it, though. The last 100, where you hadn't gotten it, and you're facing prison. What about the last 10? To keep you out of prison.
Well, what about... At what point does fatigue set in? And
yes.
You're not even really into it. Could you stretch the 1,000 over a few days?
I don't know. But it'd be like, what if you got to, like, you know, with, like, 10 left, you're like, this bet's stupid, and just ran away. They would have probably security there.
Probably.
To prevent
being
you.
General population, you'd be everybody's bitch.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, free
eating
room.
Eating that food, bread and water.
Yeah. Mm. Free room, free board for an entire year.
Yes.
But you also get ink.
All right, Phil.
Well, that's a great question because I'm sure that will actually happen. Some people will actually get that opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
It happens all the time.
Sure.
We just don't hear about it
enough.
Yeah,
it's one of those games that billionaires play.
Yeah.
They just take random people and they have them do fun things, fun tasks, or they go to prison.
Golf courses and prison and tattoos. There was two attached stories to that. There's a place in Toronto. I don't know the name of it. Maybe they can buy some time. A tattoo shop offering free real Raptor tattoos over the night during the series.
Nice.
So you go in there and they'll give you a, you don't get to bring in your own art, but they'll give you a selection of I'm not doing it. I'm not a tattoo guy. And then
they'll absolutely free. You don't have to pay for anything.
Nope.
Free. Well, that's unusual.
It is unusual. Hmm. It's probably a little tiny one, and they can knock it off quick. But
sure. Yeah, but even a little tiny one, like $100.
Another one of those gestures.
And then, do you want to do the golf story now?
Yeah.
Now do it.
At Greystone in Milton on Monday, 26-year-old guy, drunk out of his mind, twice the legal limit, gets in his car and starts driving it on the golf course. So you talk about Caddyshack, right? Or just images of...
Yeah.
Craziness on the golf course. Guys were literally running for their lives on the golf course.
Did they say in the story whether he was leaving the golf course or coming to the golf course?
I think he was at the golf course and then was probably drinking too much while he was there and then somehow was driving on the course. Can imagine being on the course, though, and all the things that you might imagine would happen that day.
Yeah.
Being hit by a car on the, you know, 12th hole isn't one of them.
Be a drag, especially if you're playing well. Yeah.
Now, we're laughing, and again, twice the legal limit.
Yeah.
And apparently, the police were chasing him around the golf course as well. I mean, really, it's like a scene out of some whacked-out movie.
In golf carts?
No, yeah, probably, yeah.
Because I know
not
that,
in police cars, no.
Well, first of all, I know a couple things. I know that the golf course and golf course corporation that owns it would be, have no way, I encourage people to get in their cars and, you know,
drive on the course.
Drive on the golf course. or leave the golf course inebriated.
That's a nice course, isn't it, Greystone?
I know it very well. It's 10 minutes from my course. Plus, my buddy, our friend Fraser, is a member there. My buddy.
Yeah, it's no place for hacks, right?
No, not necessarily. The thing is, I know that parking lot. And in order to get onto the golf course from the parking lot...
It took some maneuvering.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It takes some maneuvering. It's not a straight shot pavement to grass. It's
right.
Like a couple of medians and a circular drive.
Yeah.
And, like, he would have had to really tear out of there.
And not to mention the... you know, it's probably soft, like most golf courses in the area.
Well,
the
damage
done to it.
Never-ending spring.
Yeah. You call this spring. Never
you
this winter.
You go this spring. I call it folly.
Yeah.
It's April fall. April showers, big may come your way.
No, you have 1,000 chances of driving a car across the golf course. It's a par 3, and you have to go to prison. would you do that?
That's right. You got to drive. You have to drive into a par three, or you get $1 billion.
That sounds like you're drunk.
No, that's terrible. You know what? And you know what golfers are like? They'd be terrified or whatever, and then the car's coming at you, and then it leaves, and then you have to decide, okay, should we continue playing? Like, are we traumatized?
Right.
Is this event traumatized? I mean, and like I said, what if you're having a great round? Oh, man, I'm having a great round, and all of a sudden, this dude drives through my par four.
Or you're in that contest. It's your 956th shot. The ball is rolling into the hole for a hole in one, and this guy drives across the green.
That's right.
And your ball skitters off the side.
Cut to you're changing the grips on a club in prison. Wow. Yeah, how drunk are you that you get in your car and drive on the golf course terrorizing people?
Well, you know, I saw, especially, I think it's in York region. You know, their drinking and driving stats are still through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Like, you talk about 2019 and attitudes and accepting reality and consequences and everything. How does anybody drink too much and get in a car? Just the, honestly, like, how do you not, are you so drunk, are you so don't care? The consequences for drinking and driving today are just staggering. Even if you don't care about victims.
Oh, yeah.
You don't care enough about yourself. It's something else. Yeah. And I don't know why York region is that.
I think it's because it's such a big region and the towns have a bit of distance between each other. You've got people.
So you want to go get yourself pissed up in the nearby town and then drive.
It seems to be a York region thing, that's for sure. Yeah. It's like people living in King Township, they work in Toronto and they want
to
have a beer.
Well, of all the many blessings in my life, you know, the fact that I never have to think about that day to day anymore and but it's other people. You know, it's other people. The fact that somebody would still think in 2019 that I've had some drinks and I'm going to get behind the wheel of a car is just so weird to me. It's like the fact that people still smoking cigarettes, I find strange.
And this other story, the guy appeared in court yesterday. It happened on the weekend. The guy on a big motorcycle with his chick on the back runs over a four-year-old, drags him for several feet, and then takes off. Stops, the woman gets off the bike and walks down a side street carrying her helmet. So you run over a four-year-old. You absolutely don't care about the four-year-old after you've dragged him.
But hold on a second. I mean, the guy didn't know or did know
he knew. And then he took off. It was a hit and run. So he hits the four-year-old, drags him for several feet. Finally, the kid, you know, is left lying in the street. The guy takes off. Oh, yeah, he knew. But then stops, pauses for a second. The woman gets off and walks down a side street. I guess, you know, he's thinking it'll be easier for me to get away if you're not on the back. Oh, yeah. Anyway, he appears in court yesterday. Apparently a member of the Hell's Angels. But, like, so you can't help but think the reason he took off, was he drunk? Thinking, you know, the kid ran in front of me. It may not have been my fault. Why would you take off?
I don't know.
Probably you were intoxicated. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Allegedly, I'm just speculating.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, it's once again, it's Fred Patterson talking about the Hell's Angels. And I don't know what he was talking about. I hardly recognize him.
The preceding conversation.
So, yeah, that preceding conversation with that voice was Fred talking about Hell's Angels.
No, but that's
habits.
In the news. The guy's the member of Hell's Angel, and apparently his father was too.
Well, maybe that's why he didn't stop, though. I'm saying maybe he didn't stop because it's not about drinking. It's about, hey, I don't need to be caught right now. Maybe he had other things.
Well, maybe he did. And the plea bargain or whatever he made with his lawyer was, and the Crown was, he will turn himself in if we don't release his name and picture. And they agreed to that, but his name has got out, and so has his picture.
Not on this show, it won't.
But where's the heartlessness?
No, it's ridiculous.
I just don't. It describes how people get in their car and drunk and drive. They just don't care about others.
Irresponsible.
Well, yeah, irresponsible, and then you're drunk, and then, of course, that even lowers more. Anyway, we got to take a break here. Big show is still to come. 1,000 shots at $1 billion or you go to prison. Just, I don't know. something to think about, Sean. We're live on Funny 820 around Southern Ontario for the first time since 2005. And, of course, at humbleandfredradio.com.
I like smoking lightning. Heavy metal thunder. Racing.
Always a pleasure to have you along with us on this gray fall day in the spring of 2019. It's Humble and Fred Radio. We're going to get to talking about some more cool cannabis-related information. There is always something new, something you may not have considered, and today you're going to hear about quick strips and what that will mean to the cannabis dosing delivery world. But first, let's talk about the great job these guys are doing around our house here, Fred.
Yes, as a property owner, you have the right to freedom. Freedom to choose, freedom to change. Choose Freedom Construction when you need general contractors who take care of all the details. Freedom Construction provides custom-made kitchens, bathrooms, and basements for builders and residential customers, and exterior carpentry is their specialty. Okay, go to freedomconstruction.ca and choose a company built on quality, pride, and integrity. Humble and Fred did. And you should, too. They've been around for a dozen years. FreedomConstruction.ca.
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan wants you to know it's Canada's number one plan for a reason. And that reason is it's designed especially for small businesses like yours. Businesses between zero and 100. Well, no, one in 100. Because if zero, you wouldn't have a business. Phil. Phil, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? You can't have a business with... Oh, how many employees do you have? We have none.
None.
Between 1 and 100 employees, it's Canada's number one plan. Small businesses need insurance. And if you're a small business like ours with 5 or 6 employees and you're wondering if you can afford it, well, you can. It's stable, it's simple, it's smart, and it's easy to administer. Chamberplan.ca. So, 18 months ago, I went on my very first date with little GFR.
Oh,
there's Stan. Oh, and there's the Niblets. 18 months ago today, first date with GFR.
Aww.
18 months ago, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
GFR and I, first date.
Was it all puppy love?
Oh, my God. 18 months, Phil.
Wow.
That's when you...
We'll wait for 10 minutes for the Sherpy.
That's when you know you're in love.
Love.
Like people go year, 2 years, 18 months.
Yeah.
That's...
It's early days.
I'm saying.
You know who called it first?
Who?
Your wife.
She called what?
So
18 months?
No.
Oh.
I met Rachel, and a couple weeks later, I was out for dinner with you and your wife.
Were you?
We went to a Christmas party together. Remember that?
We did?
Yeah, the big... iText Christmas party.
Oh, right. Of course. Were you dateless that night?
I went with you. Well, no. I think I took... I think I was... Because we had scheduled this thing a month or so in advance.
Oh, you took Randy.
It was you and me, Dahl and Randy.
Right.
And I spent the whole dinner telling Dahl about this new woman I had met. And Dahl said, I think you're... Well, she said it in her Dahl voice, but she said, I think you're smitten. It came out like this. I think you're smitten.
I think you're smitten. Mm-hmm.
I think you're smitten. And that was... That was girlfriend Rachel. I was telling her all about it.
18 months.
And now here she was, here she is, after having spent the night, and I don't even know where she was in the house. I just found out she was here. You can't see her because she's hiding behind the Humble and Fred banner, but anyway.
So you didn't know she was here. That's great. 18 months in separate bedrooms. That's cool.
Well, we haven't done it yet.
You haven't done what?
None of that
Maybe
stuff.
When I grow up.
Oh, Phil.
Anyway, 18 months. That's how quickly that goes
so
by.
So is that why she spent the night here last night? Was there some kind of celebration last night?
Well, it's always a celebration of our love. No, we, because she's going away to London, England, and France.
Oh.
She's going away to speak at a... museum convention. Or no, that's not true. What is it? It's a conference. It's a museum conference.
People have conferences.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Adults have conferences.
Sure they do.
And, I've never been to one, but...
Well, we've been to some radio conferences.
Is that what they're called?
Okay. Sure. Okay. Anyway, that's why she was here last night, because I'm not going to see her again for at least 5 to 7 business days.
And that'll be 18 months and a week.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm going to New York tomorrow to see my daughter. I'm taking one of my daughters, and I are going to see the other daughter.
Well, aren't you guys worldly? One in New York, the other in London, England? My goodness.
Well, look at you. You're going to be in Peterborough this weekend.
No, I'm not. Burleigh Falls.
Oh, excuse me. What? Jemskews.
Peterborough County.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Not really. No, I don't think it is Peterborough County.
I thought it was.
I think it's...
Well, I know we thought you thought county. It was because you blurted it out.
Like that way.
Like the insane marionette you are. Damn, Phil.
Which was fine. You got the name of the county wrong, but the laughter with it is what...
But you know,
it's like he's insane.
I know he does. I was listening back to the show. In fact, you were sitting here with me yesterday.
Was I? I was sitting with you yesterday.
Remember after the show when it took forever to get?
Right.
And then there was one point we were listening back, and he was just yelling something, and we didn't hear it during the show.
Oh, I was reading a tweet from a government official in Malaysia, and they want to use the F word because of our garbage there. We keep sending our garbage their way.
Okay, so,
it's coming back.
I'm
by
like,
the way.
Are you kidding me,
Phil?
That's what you're going to say to us?
Thank you for that sentence.
F word.
So, anyway, yeah, I just wanted to say that GFR and I, 18 months went by just like that. It's just been seamless. Never a problem. Never a trouble. This girl's, you know, she's much younger than I am. I get it, okay? You know, she's barely cracking. I think somewhere in her mid-40s. I don't know.
Look at it this way. Yeah. A later relationship. A month from now, Delise and I will hit 39 years.
Yeah.
You and Rachel will never hit 39 years.
No.
Because you'll be dead.
Thankfully.
Yeah. Thankfully.
Thankfully
you'll
for
never,
her.
Ever hit 39 years.
She won't have to put
years.
Up with me for 39 years. Yeah. It seems like 39 years, I'm sure. I was telling Phil, last night we went for some pho. Went to a new pho place. And I don't know what... it was like... I had a tub of... It was like the biggest bowl of soup I've ever seen.
Right.
They brought over some of the kids to spot me while I was eating it.
It's supposed to be a one-meal wonder.
So we celebrated with some pho.
Yeah, pho.
And then we went to Shoppers. Picked up some things at Shoppers. You know, just like people do. No, we went to a wellness store. I don't know what I thought that store was, but it was like a store for old people. a gadget store for old people. Like... That you go in to buy, like, portable walkers and nibs for the bottom of your cane. Nibs.
Why were you in there?
Wheelchairs.
Why?
Well, I could see being in Shoppers buying some condoms and what have you, but...
Well, I'm sorry, did you buy one?
Condoms?
Yeah, sure.
And
that
aspirin.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Sure.
But why would you be at an old people's store?
Because it was right next to the faux place, and I thought it was attached to Shoppers.
Right.
And it said something, wellness something by Shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's initially I thought, oh, we'll just go into there and then we'll go into Shoppers.
Mm-hmm.
But it also looked like it had cool, like, as seen on TV gadgets. But then I thought it was one of those stores. And then we went in and I realized quickly it wasn't as seen on TV. It was seen as seen in the doctor's office. That's all it was. Well, seriously, it was like, and at first Rachel was kind of like going along with me, like, I don't know why we're going in here, but sure, he seems interested. And then very quickly, I didn't say anything to Rachel, but I very quickly realized this was just a cane nib store, you know, and I thought, okay, we should get out.
No, they have neat,
we're too young.
Neat gadgets and stuff, like if you can't bend your elbow anymore, it's like a little...
All that stuff.
Yeah.
It literally was like orthotics and shoulder harnesses.
Knee braces.
Heart monitors.
But I don't know what made me think it was as seen on TV. I love those stores.
Yeah.
The as seen on TV stores?
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Are they still around?
Yeah, in the little malls.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just surprised because all that stuff you can buy online now. You should actually have to go to that store when you saw it on TV. Now you can buy it online, believe it or not.
And the as seen on TV part's ridiculous because no one's seeing anything on TV. What were you going to say?
I was going to say stuff like the slap chop and, you know, you got the barbecue. It's made out of bronze. It's just a mat.
But all the wellness store, though, for old people, is just like, you know, buttons you can press when you've fallen down things.
Different,
you know,
kind
like,
of knee and neck
sensors.
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
And
then it was like a portable walker. I'm like, I'm not there yet.
No.
Anyway, so that's that.
You're not far off.
I know. Well, considering my injuries. Did I show you the bruise? Do you see this bruise?
Yeah, I know. You showed it to me yesterday.
It's like I've been
Holy
shot.
Crap. Yeah. What is that?
You seen this on Twitch?
Not yet.
Oh, yeah. We're not on Twitch. Yeah, well, that's from 2.5 weeks of therapy.
That's not a freckle, is it?
No, it's a bruise, Phil. From needles.
What is that therapy again? Shock therapy?
Well, I had that years ago. I had the shock therapy.
No, what is it again?
Shock wave. And it's like a little hammer, a medical hammer.
Oh, shockwave.
And it just goes, ding, 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 ding. It's like having a drill in your shoulder. And they just break down the calcification, mm-hmm. the scar tissue. Mm-hmm. But at the same spot, I'm also having acupuncture as well, in and around it. Mm-hmm. So it's bruising. It's cruising.
No, it's funny. You would tell people that, and they think, does that work? But remember, what was his name? Dr. Iz or Oz or whatever it was that came in here? No, the guy that came in here, and I went to his office, and he put that machine on my shoulder.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And it beat the crap out of my shoulder, but it was like instant relief, instant cure for me.
Really?
And I think it did the same thing. Yeah, I took... Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, in today will be the first time I'm playing a full round of golf in 2.5 weeks, and my shoulder would be, I'd say, certainly 90% better. But that I've been doing a different therapy almost every day.
Right.
Every business day, for sure. Anyway, it feels better, is the point. But it's got a big, giant bruise. So why are we off Twitch?
We just had some technical difficulties.
All right.
Just video connection issues.
All right.
Coming back.
Still to come, we're going to talk about this new technology to deliver vitamins, energy, CBD, THC.
ABC.
And that's coming up. Also, I want to talk about the sort of you mentioned a tattoo artist giving away free Raptors tattoos. We still want to talk about the Jeopardy guy, and when they erected the Eiffel Tower, I guarantee you they could not have imagined what's taking place there now for the next couple of weeks. I'll tell you that story.
I hope that's just temporary.
Yeah, it's temporary.
Yeah,
it's absurd. It just goes to show you how bored we all are.
I saw it on the news last night, and I'm thinking that's tacky.
It's super tacky. So we're going to talk about the Jeopardy guy, the Eiffel Tower zip line, and the Raptors. Not only lots of excitement, but it's not cheap to go to a Raptors game. And we'll tell you what the numbers are for. I think is the first game at home.
Yes, it is.
Saturday night.
The first two.
Nice.
And the schedule is really stretched out. They're putting like two nights in between every game for travel reasons and everything. It makes sense, I guess. But
because they would normally do what? Tuna?
Every other night there'd be a game. But not in this case. Like the first game's Thursday, the second game's Sunday. So you get the idea.
I do. Here we go. Is today the 66th anniversary?
Today is the 66th anniversary. Yes, it is. Good morning.
Okay, in honor of the 66th anniversary of Sir Edmund Hillary's ascent of Mount Everest and Jeopardy James' amazing streak, we present the retirement Sherpa, Tim Nibblett, a portfolio manager. You know that. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim is here. Tim.
Woo!
What's up, Jay?
How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I got to see GFR as a bonus, so it's very exciting.
I'm not going to see you for 7 business days.
It's good to see you guys keep the romance going by going to Shoppers Drug Mart, by the way. I was very impressed. Yeah.
Well, what's the card you get there?
Optimum, yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
He's all over the Optimum card.
Well, he's all over something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's happening?
You go to Shoppers because you want the Optimum card.
I want the points.
See you, darling.
Bye, Rach.
Howard is so lucky.
Bye, Rachel. Sweet thing.
She's lucky. Well, you're lucky. She's lucky. It's lucky. It's great you found each other at an advanced
Although
age.
I did lose her in Shoppers for a while.
Yeah.
I did. I couldn't find her. Because I went and got Stan some dog treats.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was, I was like, where'd she go?
How big is a Shoppers drug
This was a big Shoppers.
Her.
No, dude, it was a huge Shoppers. And I was over getting the dog treats, and then I couldn't find her, and then she was, guess where she was? Where all the people are.
I'll stand in a Winners with my wife, turn my back for 3 seconds, and then spend the next 10 minutes. I'll look up every aisle.
I did that.
And I can't find her. She's just tucked in behind something all the time.
Guess where I found her, though?
And then I'll phone her phone. And then I'll phone her phone, and, like, she won't answer it. It'll be dead or whatever. Where did you find her?
Cosmetics.
Cosmetics?
Obviously.
I Why obviously?
To learn that. Well, because that's where they go.
Yeah, they do.
When I go with my daughters, that's where they all go.
Mm-hmm.
I say they. I'm talking about women. Maybe some men, too. But I go with my kids, or I go maybe with a doll. But I was looking around the entire store. I went up in every aisle from the food part. They have food at Shoppers Drug Mart now. It's weird. I went all the way. And then all of a sudden, there was this. I'm like, I don't know where to go. And then she was tucked in their cosmetics area.
Anyway. But I never get annoyed. I just take it all in stride.
No, you never. Well, you never get annoyed about anything.
No.
Very patient. No. So when we first met Tim... He said, I want to call myself the retirement Sherpa, or I call my, this is my thing. And we said, great. We didn't realize it had so much depth and meaning. But why are we talking, what did you want to mention in terms of the anniversary of the summit?
I even thought it through, which is quite amazing to many people who know me. Yeah, it was a heck of a good coincidence. Today exactly is the 66th anniversary, so I watched Jeopardy last night as well, so James is still unscathed.
Isn't it wild?
The guy, he's just amazing. I mean, I know everybody's onto his strategy by now, pile up the
right.
The dollars, start at the high ones, find the daily double, but he gets all the damn questions right. That's the tricky part.
And you see how quickly he asks for the next one so he can clear
right.
the board?
He just abbreviates it all the time, right? He knows it's important to get them all done.
Well, Alex will say that's correct or whatever. Before the word correct is out, he's asking for the next panel.
Because he wants to control the board?
He wants to control, and he wants to get through it. He wants to leave nothing on the board because he knows he can answer every question.
But you can have a strategy all you want, but as Tim said, you still got to get the answers right.
Well, he'll have $60,000 there, hit a daily double on bet 50. Yeah.
Does he ever lose?
No. Have you ever seen him answer a question incorrectly?
I've never seen him miss a daily double. Last week, every question in the first Jeopardy, Single Jeopardy, whatever right. it's called, none of the contestants got it wrong. They got every single question right.
Amazing.
So, but I have never, if he doesn't know the answer, he doesn't hit his buzzer. I've never seen him, in all the times I've watched, incorrectly answer a question.
He had one wrong last night or the night before, but rarely,
oh,
for
okay.
sure. So I thought about that because there was a Dodger thing yesterday with the five words in it or
yes.
whatever, and that one player was, they always hesitate compared to him in calling, and then they go, Dodger baseball for, so you almost wonder if you need to slow play the guy a little bit because he wants to play it fast, right?
Yeah.
Same as in basketball, you want to change the other team's rhythm.
At his current pace, if he goes on to match Jennings' record win streak of 74 shows, Halt Sauer would amass a total of $5.8 million and some change. Brad Rutter, never heard of him, is the current all-time Jeopardy money leader with $4.7 million dollars from his show victories and tournament performances.
Uh-huh. And, it's a strange beast because I'm back watching the show because of him, but I can actually see at some point getting tired of it. You know what I mean? He's got a funny little attitude, too, the faces he makes in the camera and everything.
I think he's a touch on the spectrum actually, with his mannerisms and all.
You should watch it, Howard. And you can't help but think, like, how do you know all that stuff? Like, the most obscure thing, he just knows.
Well, if what Tim says is true, that there's some aspect of that, then maybe that's how it's happening, is that he's able to access a certain part of the brain that the rest of us...
And what about this perspective? You know, there's everybody out there going, hey, I'd be great on Jeopardy. It just so happens that you get on Jeopardy when this guy is on Jeopardy and on his streak. So you might be a great average Jeopardy player.
Yeah.
You're nothing compared to this guy.
To the Tiger Woods of Jeopardy.
Yeah.
So if you had 1,000 chances to answer a question for $1 billion or you have to go to prison... let's talk
it would
about
depend on the category.
So you want to ask us some questions here?
Absolutely. I thought we'd have some fun. There's right. some science related ones for Sean and all that as
ready.
Well.
Get so, hands on your buzzer.
We all know, I was going to say, for $100, but then you guys would want me to pay us, so I didn't want to do that.
No, we don't want that.
Right. So we all know Edmund Hillary was the first, Sir Edmund Hillary now. Who was the second person to summit Mount Everest?
Oh, it had to be
6 years ago today.
Had to be Donald Trump. He's done everything.
Oh, yeah, it was Trump. I'll go with Trump. No, let me ask you a question. I don't know the answer, but was it somebody in the party with Hillary? You know what I mean? Like, was it part of his group? So it, the second person at the summit would have been with the group of people that went
Oh, is it a trick question?
No.
No, it's an obvious question when I gave you the answer.
I think it was the Sherpa.
It would be the Sherpa.
Yeah, the guy that took Hillary to the top would have been the second person because Hillary would have been, hey, show me how to get up there, Sherpa. And then he summited or whatever they call it. And then the Sherpa would have been the second.
On the same day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. I get it. So it's sort of...
Yeah, logic would tell you it would be the guy in that party with Hillary Clinton.
See, not when I...
Tenzing Norgay.
See,
exactly.
When I saw that, I'm thinking, oh, the second guy, the second guy being like the second man on the moon sometime later.
But it was Buzz Aldrin, amazingly enough.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, next question.
He was the second one. Mm-hmm. What is our next question? Oh, bonus points, too, as well. Camarita just summited for his 24th time recently, which is the most ever, and he did it twice within a week. This was just this month. He summited with the group. He's a Sherpa as well. Came back to base camp 3 days, recuperated, boom, wow. Right up to the top again. So there's actually 2 months that are the most popular month, and why? Which months are the most popular?
To summit Everest?
Yes.
I would say the two most popular months would be, you know, spring and fall. So I'm going to say May and October.
Yeah, it would be, because right now, there's a story right now about it, and there's a problem right now, too many people going
right.
up there.
Right, have you seen the pictures there of the queue? I mean, it's just crazy. It's like being in a Palma Pasta, there's so many people there.
There you go, that's a good client right there. What he did, he just tied in another client.
11 people have died so far this year going up Everest and coming down Everest, because it's just as easy to die coming down as going up because of the pressure and everything.
So what is the answer?
More die on the descent than the ascent, as a matter of fact. Yes.
And they just leave you there, by the way. There's no like, hey, who's going to get Phil's body? Not me.
Frozen grave.
Right. April and May are the most popular ones, and the reason, since this is a weather network here, is the monsoon season hasn't started as yet. So wind is a real killer, of course, up there, so you don't want to be up there when it's even windier than normally is.
11 people have died. They say a big part of that problem is they allow too many at once.
That's right. And it used to be that the training and the process of getting, you know, even ready to do it was a big deal. That's why very few people did it. And now, with more, you know, more people cross training.
It's like the new Acapulco. Everyone's going.
Okay. But there was a guy. They were talking about one guy, like 61 years old, and something he always wanted to do. And he got to the top, pictures and everything. And then about a quarter of the way down, he just collapsed and died. And that's when they were explaining, too, coming down is more challenging than going up.
Part of the challenge as well, I've read a number of books on this, movies on this long before choosing to become the retirement Sherpa, and Into Thin Air by John Krakauer is an amazing book.
Yeah, great book.
And so one of the dilemmas that these expedition tours have, one of the answers to a later question, it's $35,000 U.S. to be part of an expedition on purpose or on average. So if you think of it, if you're a company, you can have three extra people that may or may not speed things along for the rest of the group, but that's $100,000 U.S. in revenue. Mm-hmm. It's a real dilemma. So that's part of why there's too many people up there as well.
When that book you mentioned, I was going to mention I had read a book. I'd forgotten the name. It was that one. And in those days when he wrote that, it was a very special thing to do. Very few people did it. They didn't have these companies that would, you know, take you up there and, okay, you're marginally qualified. In those days, John Krakauer, it was a real thing to do. Mm-hmm. It was an arduous task to train for it. But now just, you know, a lot of schmoes go.
Mount Kilimanjaro, but yes, it's thought to be more accessible than it probably should be.
So we have a minute and a half left here. So let's. I do want to ask the feces question.
Well, gotta have a feces.
We got to have a feces.
Come
question.
On! I'm surprised I didn't lead with that one.
I was surprised you didn't start with how many feces.
Well, I did ask how many pounds of feces are on the mountain, and the answer are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands. But how many per year is estimated to be created?
Depends who goes, you know.
Yeah. Depends. We have not been invited on an expedition for just that reason. All right, Stan.
But it would be harmless, right? Because it's just frozen all the time.
Right. Yeah. So there's almost 30,000 pounds that's estimated every season. Most of it's bagged and carried by Sherpas to an earthen pit, correct, which is a frozen area. And last year, the Nepalese government is now starting to fine people $4,000 if they don't pull 18 pounds of excrement off with them, because that's what the expectation is. Average per person
that's
is
great.
18 pounds.
That's great. So we go up, we have this amazing life-changing experience, and it's like, okay, one of us has to take the poo bag.
18 that's pounds, great. That's it? That's a Tuesday for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's after we go for dim sum. Well, that was cool. Good for you. Thank you very much for coming in here. Tim, of course, he's the Sherpa, and he will take care of you and your money up and down the summits of life. He won't leave you at base camp. He's going to make sure you're taken care of. You won't die on the way down the money mountain.
Not for money.
I just got tired there. Tim's a portfolio manager. Get a hold of him at tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca. We'll be back. We're going to be talking more weed and cannabis med ed and more interesting conversations about the delivery system and the future of the cannabis world here on the Humble and Fred Show. We'll be right back.
Cannot quit me so quickly. There's no hope in you for me. No corner you could squeeze me. But I got all the time for you, love. The space between the tears we
call. All right, welcome back, everyone. The Humble and Fred program. Pretty excited to be with you on this Wednesday, live around Southern Ontario. Of course, streaming all over the place at humbleandfredradio.com. Twitch TV, are we back? Is that working? Oh, sorry. Is it? Let me see. Is Raheem, are you there?
Oh, there he is.
Raheem, are you there? We're going to have to maybe 86 Raheem. Jennifer, yeah, because I just have them try one more time.
Try the other side, because remember last week it was working on the other side for some reason.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. This is going to be interesting because over the last couple of years we've had so many conversations, you know, leading up to legalization and talking about various aspects of cannabis. Recently, we started talking about this interesting conference that's coming up called Cannabis Med Ed, which is an educational forum for the, I was going to say the medical industry, but it's not just doctors, it's nurses, it's pharmacists, it's paramedics, and so forth. Why don't you try that? And along the way, Cannabis Med Ed is involving a lot of, you know, different. Hey, Raheem, are you there?
I am here.
There's Raheem. All right. Well, we're all here now. Anyways, Cannabis Med Ed. Bringing a bunch of different people together, and we're excited to have some of them on our show. With us on the phone is Raheem Dalla, the owner and founder of Hybrid Farm, and with us in the studio. Now, for the second time, so I met this gentleman the other day. I was taping another podcast, and he came in, and we're like, hey, what's going on? He's the Senior Vice President of Business Development, Rapid Dose Technology. Say hello to Raheem Dalla and Jason Lewis, everybody. Raheem and Jason. Hey, Jason, welcome.
Hey, thank you.
It's great to have you here again. Now, Raheem, can you hear us?
Yeah, perfect.
Amazing.
Where are you?
I'm in my office right now. Trying to figure out Skype.
Okay, but where in the world are you, Raheem?
I'm located in Ottawa.
Excellent. Right.
In the Westboro community.
Well, nice. We're happy to have you here. We're talking about Cannabis Med Ed, the conference, but let's talk a little bit about Jason, the company that you're involved with, Rapid Dose Technology, and give us a little bit of just an overview of what that is, and then Raheem, you can tell us about what you're up to at Hybrid Farm.
For sure.
Well, Rapid Dose Therapeutics, and just not to correct, but that's the name of the company is Therapeutics. We've created technology to deliver cannabis for patients, consumers, recreationally, medically, that comes in the form of a product called QuickStrip.
Right.
And that product is designed to move away from the whole smoking, vaping, edible consumption. It's a no smoke, no smell, no stigma product that's really targeted to everybody. It's a sublingual delivery.
Well, and that's what I... Jason and I have had a couple conversations, Raheem. And, you know, a lot of people definitely don't want to have, you know, marijuana as a smokable, combustible product. But, you know, some people like myself, a little bit nervous about edibles because of the unpredictability of them. And Jason was telling me yesterday, and we had a conversation about the difference between eating a drug like marijuana and taking it sublingually. And what are the differences? Because because eating it, it's delivered through your stomach, and a lot of it gets bypassed somehow. Explain that to me.
Well, yeah, there's something called first-pass metabolism. So if you were to, for example, take a 10-milligram edible, 90% of that is going to get destroyed through the process of digestion and going through your first pass, which is your liver, mm-hmm. before it gets to your bloodstream. With the quick strip, if you take 10 milligrams and it goes directly from your under your tongue into your bloodstream, you're actually getting the full dose and you're getting it quickly.
But why it's important, it's not just because of the recreational, I got high. It's because of medical professionals, Raheem, that are able to then exact dose to say, listen, you know, this is what's worked. Take 10 milligrams of this and you're going to get 10 milligrams of it, whatever that is, CBD, THC, a B12 vitamin, any of it. And that's sort of the, I think, the breakthrough part that I get, Raheem, is that you're able to now prescribe precisely something.
Yeah, so like, well, like, just to add to what Jason was saying, is when you're going through first pass, your body metabolizes, and cannabis is metabolized about 65% through the liver. And when you're metabolizing through the liver, it gets to activate into a more potent metabolite called 11-hydroxy tetrahydrocannabinol. This is what causes that prolonged high, even like when you take too many brownies. I'm sure someone had a good night one time and got really, really baked. This is the prolonged effect of the 11-hydroxy. So now that you have like alternate dosage forms such as, you know, RDT, which is bypassing the first pass effect, yeah, you are essentially getting a little bit more of the dose, having to use a lot less concentration. So it is important, and on a medical point, to if you want to take like 10 milligrams CBD, you want to take 10 milligrams CBD, right? And this is how you dose medically.
Now, Raheem, you're a pharmacist.
Yes.
And like, how far are we? Are we already there where you know you've been filling scripts now for medical cannabis for a while? But at some point, will there be a flood of doctors writing prescriptions to be filled at your place for, you know, rapid dose THC and CBDs?
Yeah, so we'll take it a little step back. We're actually not filling medical cannabis prescriptions because we haven't figured out who is going to dispense medically at this point in time. So Hybrid Farm is Canada's first cannabis specialty compounding pharmacy. So what that really means is we're really integrating cannabis as a medicine into patients' regular prescriptions. So we do dispense regular medications, we do compounding medications, and we do have a clinic in-house. So we do see patients on like a weekly basis, all throughout Ontario via telemedicine, or people walk in and they see our nurse practitioner and we help them get set up with medical cannabis, you know, picking the right dose, the right strain, what they should be using, what they should be looking out for in terms of drug interactions, and just really helping them use this safely and effectively. And because we're not dispensing yet, you know, I did have applied for our LP license to be able to dispense similar to what Shoppers Drug Mart has done to eventually get dispensing rights because, you know, right now there is no medical access point. Patients are using computers, and I'll tell you right now, my patient population is anywhere between 55 to 85 years old, taking like 10 medications. And you'd ask your grandma if she knows how to use a computer and log in and look at a bunch of strains and pick which one.
No, seriously.
Well, that's
ridiculous.
And how are the people coming to you and in greater numbers all the time? They're not. Well, it's not on recommendations of GPs or anything, is it?
Oh, it is, actually.
It is?
I found this like a little cool trend going on because we sit down and see patients, a lot of word of mouth, but as I send a note to the doctor and be like, hey, I saw your patient, I had a consult with them, we sat down and talked about X, Y, and Z, would you be interested in signing a medical cannabis prescription? And 8 out of 10 times, they're more than likely to say yes. Mm-hmm. But we are getting a lot of referrals, we're getting a lot of walk-ins, we're getting a lot of word of mouth. And that's basically how we're getting our patients right now.
And that's changed dramatically over the last period of time. My doctor, I think he's in his early 70s now, and he's to that point now. Hey, if it works for you, try it. I mean, I can't prescribe it, but go for it.
Well, and, you know, with our friends at Strain Print, mm-hmm. we're all learning that there are so many different, you know, uses and you know, marijuana as a modality, if you will, Raheem. It's funny. It wasn't that long ago where your doctor, mm-hmm. my doctor, didn't want to have anything to do with marijuana. Mm-hmm. And again, we're going to bring Jason back in here a second. Part of it is because of the dosing. It just has been so haphazard. But Raheem, you know, up till now, my point is it's all been a lot of anecdotal stuff. Strain Print, yes, is gathering data. But, you know, for instance, Raheem's father, you actually recommended some cannabis oil to him, helping to combat some of his chemotherapy symptoms. But, you know, you're a medical, you're trained. What about all the people out there that whose family and friends are suffering that don't have access to this information?
Yeah, that's exactly why I wanted to establish Hybrid Farm, is to really bridge that gap of knowledge and expertise in the industry where, you know, we only have recreational outlets right now. We only have the internet, and my God, it is flooded with all kinds of stuff, and we're just trying to, you know, put together and gather all of the, you know, the evidence-based medicine as well as even patient-based stories, because, you know, we do have a lot, we do see a lot of success stories, we do have a lot of, you know, tries and attempts and failures, and because, you know, cannabis is not for everybody.
All right.
And that's a very real fact, and as much as everyone's claiming it's snake oil, I mean, there are definitely uses for it, but there's some, like, you know, like they want to treat a certain ailments, it's not going to work, right?
So I'll tell you what,
I think a big part of, like, when you're talking about your doctor and having these conversations, a lot of them just don't have the evidence, and that's a big reason why they don't want to prescribe it. Or the way to prescribe medical cannabis right now is on a gram per day basis, and a lot of them have no clue what that means. And really what it means is you have access to buy that much, and it has no reflection on your dose. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of medical practitioners and prescribers can't get around that concept.
All right, Raheem, we're going to get, because the phone isn't the best way to have a four-person conversation. We're going to let you go. We're going to let everyone know that Raheem is excited for you to come to see Cannabis Med Ed. Go to CannabisMedEd.com. And the next time you're in town, we got to get you in here, because I know there's a lot of other parts of this conversation to have with you, and we wish you nothing but the best. Hybrid Farms owner and founder Raheem Dalla, thanks for hanging out with us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you.
Now, Jason, you've listened to all of that. I mean, your company, as I mentioned, it's called Quick Strips. And what it does is it can deliver not just CBD and THC, but also B12, some energy, melatonin, because of the delivery system. So these
strips that literally go under your tongue?
Yeah.
Is that the...
Literally, they go under your tongue, and they dissolve in both.
So it's not the eye drop or anything. It's a different method.
Like this. So here's a strip. This is a melatonin one. Mm-hmm. It just goes under your tongue. You wouldn't take it now, because then you would fall asleep. But
why is that? Oh.
Yeah, this is for, like, a natural sleep melatonin. This is for Dolly Doll. I'm telling you right now.
I know. See, and that's the problem, too. Some people are saying, you should try CBD, and they're just taking some... They're taking a product that's not meant for their ailment and then coming away thinking it didn't work for me.
Right.
And I think that's sort of the situation I'm with my wife right now. So that product there is specific, and this is what people need to know.
Well, see, the problem is there's so much mystery to it.
Yeah.
And it's also a mystery to the physicians. And this is why the medical education of the doctors is so critical. But then, once they're educated, how do they dispense it to Humble or Fred or your wife? Mm-hmm. They have really no way. They can't say, go buy a bag, crush up a little bit, mm-hmm. roll it up and smoke it. I mean, there's just too much risk.
Like Raheem was saying, you know, if you have a medical marijuana license to buy it for medical reasons, you're given a gram a day amount. But that doesn't say what you need.
No.
But you and I were talking yesterday, and I want you to talk about the idea that there's a prescribable a way to sort of keep track of it for doctors. So when you give it, like I said, when you have a 10 milligram strip, quick strip, you know you're getting that. It becomes more accountable, if you will, for the doctor, because then he can say, okay, well, this worked for Fred. Let me try it for somebody else.
Well, exactly. And a doctor wants to titrate. they don't want to start super high and find out that there's, you know, there's side effects. So they can, with Quickstrip, they can say, here's 10 milligrams. Try that twice a day, what they call BID. And then you might say that really works, or it's too strong. Okay, so dial it back. I can have 5 milligrams. You can take a 10 milligram Quickstrip, tear it in half, and
no.
dose twice a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There has to be a way now for physicians to write a prescription or to give a recommendation so that they can treat cannabis as a real medicine. And Quickstrip gives them that opportunity.
Is it, you know, we often joke about the radio business we're in. There's a lot of people that control the business that are of a certain age. They don't want to deal with the new world or the new reality. They leave it to the younger. The younger guys, is that the situation too with doctors? The older guys are going, you know what, I don't want to learn about it. I don't care about this.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, I come out of 30 years of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And when the doctors graduate, yeah. they have 15 drugs that they've been taught about.
Mm-hmm.
And they use those 15 drugs for right. as long as they possibly can.
Because this is an education.
I mean, they there's so much stigma around this product, but there's so much benefit
mm-hmm.
if they can just get on board, learn from true professionals, not from the street, and deliver it in a way that they would normally deliver medicine. That's the problem, is they don't have a delivery method that they mm-hmm. trust.
Right, and that's really what it is that for pharmacists and for doctors and patients, and again, I know we, it's funny, like sometimes the audience is like, oh, you know, you talk too much about Trump, and then sometimes they're like, you talk too much about cannabis. But it is such a far-reaching, you know, I mentioned this to Fred the other day, I could never have imagined, even 18 months ago when we were talking about the legalization coming. This is before I'd been to Lyft and before I'd been to Cannabis and seen the way the world was going to unfold. I had no idea. We had no idea that this was going to be, that you would be able to go to a drugstore in the future and get a Quickstrip and dose a precise dose of whatever you wanted, CBD, THC. And the delivery system is clean. It's not smoking. It's not something you're unsure of.
And you think this would be the perfect storm, because with an opioid crisis, you'd think this would be embraced more. But why isn't it?
Well, and big pharma can't wrap their hands around
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, if I want, because you said you spent 30 years in pharma. A couple of years ago, I hosted a big pharma conference. It was a huge event, and it was very interesting because I got to sort of sit down, and they were, one of the executives explained to me how much money and how long it takes to bring a mm-hmm. product to market. And it's insane, the investment, and you're not sure if it's going to pay off, but it's millions of dollars. What is the process? What's the process from a guy who is in pharma to bring something like a Quickstrip to market in terms of the similar hoops that you have to run through?
Well, there's all kinds of hoops, and there's all kinds of research and development. We worked with McMaster to develop the polymer technology behind it. Then we, you know, we're looking at doing research. We've done research at UNLV that looks at bioavailability. So we have to go through all of the pharma steps in order to prove that it works. Now, we actually deploy this technology. We don't make the product. We deploy it with the likes of Aphria.
Which is a big LP.
Big LP.
Yeah.
And the rules and regulations are now moving toward protecting the consumer, which is excellent, rather than just grow it in your backyard, sell it to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we deploy our Quickstrip technology at Aphria or at Thrive, and they take all of their knowledge and all of their regulations, and they put the best possible product, the best distillate they can, into a Quickstrip system, and then that rolls out to the consumer.
So that's what you develop. You develop the delivery system.
That's right.
Yeah, it's something else. Jason Lewis, the SVP of Biz Development and Rapid Dose Technology. Do we need somebody biz development? Maybe that could be you, Phil. Hold on, Phil. Maybe you're in charge.
Most likely.
You know, they say, too, ideally, the best way for any system is prevention. and you just wonder with opioids how many side effects they cause that have to be dealt with and adds to the money for medical care in the country when there's no side effects from cannabis. Like it just all makes so much sense, and you just wonder how quickly we're going to get there, because we need to.
Well, I really hope it happens quickly, because the opioid crisis is it's not getting smaller. It's far-reaching, and it might start in a dentist chair.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing about that, is it's self-created. It's not like...
Yeah.
It was created by this system of pain management. As you say, it could be as simple as you had a dentist appointment, they gave you some oxy, it felt better, and next thing you know, that's what you're doing.
And how much is that costing the system?
It's an incredible amount of treatment. And, you know, once the addiction begins, it could go on for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And with you know, something like CBD, which has no psychoactive component to it, it can really help people. There's a big... I mean, we have CB1 and CB2 receptors in our bodies for a reason. Most mammals do. And it's because we can use cannabis to solve problems.
All right. What is the... if people want more information about QuickStrip, how do we do that? Is this packaged and ready to go. Is this available somewhere?
Yeah. So, I mean, the QuickStrip melatonin, B12...
Energy
is all available in Canada and the U.S. And we're trying to expose people to the concept of using a QuickStrip to deliver products, so they can become comfortable.
And so when can we get the CBD and THC versions of these?
Those are imminently available through Aphria and through Thrive in the coming... I can't say exactly when, but they are going to be available
soon.
Well,
October is the time that all the other aspects, the edibles, the distillates, the shatters, all that stuff going to become legal. Jason Lewis, thank you very much for bringing us that. Jason, I found out yesterday, Fred... was a Humble and Fred supporter. And, way back. Freddie
really?
P.
Really? Yes. I'm almost as old as you guys.
No one is.
Nope.
No one's as old as we are, Jason.
Well, that's...
You look 15 years younger than us.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thank you.
So, yeah, you were a CFNY Edge guy.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're hanging out with us on the Hamilton.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. This is when it began, and I've got hooked.
Did you grow up in Toronto or the Hamilton?
Yeah, well, I was living in Toronto, but I was just finishing school at that point.
Wow. Well, we've been around forever. You know, hard to believe.
You look good for forever.
That's right. We do look good for forever. Jason Lewis, thanks for coming in. Jason thank and you. Raheem, thank you Woo! Very much. Don't forget... cannabismeded.com. That's where that goes. All right. Can you guys help Jason, you know, move gently away from the microphones? I'm going to turn that mic off now, Phil, so we don't have a bunch of noise. We're back up on Twitch, apparently, Sean. Okay. Twitch people are speaking out. Listen, man, we're just trying to do the best we can. All right. Very nice. It all worked out. It always works out, Jennifer.
You just wonder how long this is going to take to roll through where you go to your doctor and the first thing he says is this way instead of the old way. Because it just makes sense on so many levels.
Rachel gave her mom last weekend some CBD to try. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what it was that she was having some trouble with, you know, sleeping or something. And it's already made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If your mom was still alive, your mom's the type of woman that would have tried it. I don't think my dad would have, but Junie would have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfortunate, as Jason said, or Raheem. No, Raheem said, think about the patient age, 55, 65, 75,
right.
80s. That age of us, why not avail yourself of it? Because you know we're going to be on some medication.
But the dosage and strain is so important, because it's what I said. There's people trying it now. They're just... A friend is saying, hey, try this CBD, when it's really not the strain for what they need. They're trying it, and it's maybe not working, and they're coming away going, that didn't work for me. It's so unfair, because there is something there that will work for you. And that's why all these you know, strain print in these guys, it's all so valuable.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of side effects, I mean, the side effects of a lot of medications that we were going to, either we're being prescribed or going to be prescribed in the future, you know, there's the downside to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I don't know, I'm going to be 68 years old in 10 years, and I'll be all baked someday, and the side effect is, what's on Netflix? You know, the side effect is, I'm out of freezies.
My side effect is pizza.
Pizza!
No, and when you the opioids too, it's like, yeah, you take that for pain, but then the problems it causes, it just can go on forever and cost us all.
Yes, indeed. All right, good chats. We'll come back. We've got some nonsense still to go before the show is over. The Eiffel Tower's got a zip line, and I just listen. I've never even been there. I've never even seen it, but I think it's tacky. Also, we got some feedback on yesterday's. What was that? Well, yesterday was let's get Fred some cancer so we can get into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's Jason.
I don't think my wife was too impressed with that.
No, I'll tell you what.
She asked me about it without really a comment, so that told me. Wasn't, oh, that was good, Fred.
Well, we've had some good, and we had some bad. All right. It's Humble and Fred Radio. We'll be back in a second. I can't feel my face when I'm with you. We're going to talk about Raptors basketball and what you got to pay to go see them play. First, we want to thank our friends at LFS. Have been such a great supporter of ours for the last few months.
Yes, they appreciate it. Hey, if you're a business owner looking to upgrade equipment without tying up existing capital, then LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, your best choice. For leases and loans, restaurant equipment, construction, you get the idea. Anything that can make your company better and you don't want to use your own money, go to creditfinance.ca and find out how easily you can get a lease or a loan with little or no down payment. Creditfinance.ca is where to go. And we've only got a couple of days left here. You can save between $150 to $750 depending on the deal size. Okay, for Humble and Fred listeners, this is when you contact LFS. They will waive the administration fee. LFS, Credit and Finance Solutions.
Yeah. If you want to go to a Raptors game, why wouldn't you? It's historic. First NBA final championship game played outside of the U.S. will be Saturday night in the year of our Lord, 2019. I have two questions. Before I tell you the price, I have a question for you, actually. Because you have mentioned from time to time that the Raptors don't get quite the, I don't know what you call it, the support, the buzz, the respect maybe. Because
the attention.
Let me take this one. The fact that we're in Toronto. Have you noticed some of that? I haven't watched any of the SportsCenter coverage. But I want to tell you something I heard the other day, and it kind of bugged me about the lack of sort of coverage of the Raptors.
In Toronto?
No, this was something in the States I heard.
Oh, in the States. Yeah.
Oh, no, Toronto is wild. I'm just asking your experience. Like, have you noticed what the coverage has been like outside?
Not really, although I was listening to something the other night, and it was out of the United States. I was, like, on ESPN radio or something, and they were talking about the final, and it's all from the Golden State perspective. It's almost like this is, it's the Golden State final with that other team.
Yeah.
Would it be like that if it wasn't a Canadian team? I'm not sure. I don't know. But that's the impression that's left.
So during the PGA Tour radio coverage, like they do live coverage of tournaments. They also do talk shows and all that other stuff. But during the live coverage, at the top and the bottom of every hour, they'll do an update in the world of golf and sports.
Right.
One of those is sponsored by somebody, and they have to update other sports.
Mm.
So 2 days ago, they're doing the roundup of golf is this and that. And then they said, oh, and the college scene, blah, blah, blah. And then they don't mention the basketball. The basketball finals, this was after they'd won. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I just thought it was odd that the other biggest, they mentioned, a baseball game. But the other biggest thing in sport is this NBA final. And I thought, is it because of Toronto? It just seemed odd. It seemed oddly out of place that they didn't mention it.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. Are we overly sensitive to that stuff?
Maybe.
Is it because there was 3 or 4 days in between the end of one series and the start of the next? And who knows? But
so listen,
we're all a little sensitive when it comes to that.
And again, I just, it stood out to me because I thought, okay, why aren't you mentioning the NBA finals there in Toronto?
Toronto.
Toronto.
I think it's just everyone's underestimating Toronto as the team because Kawhi Leonard is really, like, everyone in the States is really looking at Kawhi Leonard as the team. He's
yeah,
the
but
one
they're,
guy.
Not even, this, they're not even mentioning the team. If you want to go to a game, cheapest seat, I guess, is $908. That's upper bowl. The second level down, you're going to pay $1,579. Courtside, you're going to pay, somebody would pay $30,000.
That's what someone said on Twitch yesterday.
So that's aftermarket. Yeah. You're not talking about face value.
Well, what are the face? I don't have a face value.
They wouldn't
number.
Be that.
No.
I wouldn't think.
But, I mean, as much as, listen, I know you would, I shouldn't say that. Let me ask you this question. It's the first game of the Leafs in the Stanley Cup Final. And you have a chance to go there, great seats, sitting next to the bench. Are you going to would you spend $30,000?
No. I wouldn't. Howard.
Everyone literally started to laugh.
Howard, I'm not sure I'd spend $300, to be honest with you.
To go to a Stanley Cup final game, you would spend $300.
If it was a game seven, or I knew the Leafs could win the cup that night, I don't know how high I would go. But believe me, nowhere near that. You know, I just wouldn't. I'm not that kind of a fan. Sitting in the basement watching it on a big screen TV would be good for me.
You know, I'm the same way when it comes to tournament golf. I've been to some tournaments, Canadian Open. I've been to the Masters. And I got to be honest with you, I enjoyed the experience that day, but it's not how I would choose to watch the tournament. I think, though, for you, not nostalgically, but just historically, I would say you would spend up to $1,000 for a seat at a Leaf Stanley Cup final game. I just think at the time, if somebody said, "Freddie, I got a pair of tickets. They're $1,000 each."
No, I wouldn't for game one. If they had a chance, if I could be in the crowd when they lifted the Stanley Cup, I would consider it just for old time's sake. But game one, I would not spend $1,000.
The average season good seats, too, in Toronto are like $400, $500 anyway. So $1,000. That's
and whatever those
doubled for a game.
Whatever those prices are for the Raptors, for the Leafs, I think it would be more.
Can you imagine
that situation? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. So, Phil, there's a PyGow tournament. I don't even know what they are.
What the hell is PyGow?
You know what PyGow is.
No, I do not.
Don't sit there.
It's a fallacy of a game. I don't know what it is.
You know what PyGow is.
No.
It's when you lie on your back and Pearl tries to throw little rings over your thing.
She pies my gal.
To be clear,
what?
You're talking about Ling Toss.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
And she's always wins because the
Phil. Pearl good at Ling Toss.
It's terrible. Those boys are terrible.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a sporting event. I mean, I guess if it was a golf tournament. And I don't even know what I would say. I can't think of a commiserate thing where I'd spend $30,000 to sit courtside, the equivalent in a golf situation. I just wouldn't.
Well, the thing is, you have those conversations. I mean, I'm in no position to spend $30,000 for a... The people that spend $30,000 on a sporting event, that $30,000 means less to them than $1,000 would mean to me.
Very true.
What I mean? Those are the people playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I heard a report last night on our brother's station, TSN 1050, they were talking about who could call up Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment and ask for free tickets. And it's just funny, the bigger you are, the more money you are worth, and yet you're more likely to get the free tickets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You know why? Is the rich get richer, Freddie?
Well, that's our system. And they were just throwing names out there, like, you know. You know, Anne Murray. You know, they were throwing out names like that. Anne Murray, Canada Songbird, she's totally beloved. Would they say free tickets for Anne Murray or we'll get you tickets, but you got to pay, right? And then a guy like Joe Carter, they'd give him free tickets because of the significance of sports, you know, the walk-off home runs to win a World Series, and on and on and on. But $30,000, I mean, that's not in my world, so I...
Well, you're right. Well, to somebody that could spend $30,000 to sit courtside, it would be as insignificant as, you know, $30.
That's what I'm saying. So
let's say you're at a Hargow tournament, and there's this little pot stickers everywhere. And someone says, Phil, you can have the prize Hargow.
Oh, my God.
What is Hargow? Is Hargow the shrimp or the pork?
Hargow is the shrimp and the pastry. Well, you know.
My favorite dim sum items. Okay, so that's the Raptors. In a second, we're going to talk about the Eiffel Tower. But first, yesterday, we featured a comedy routine. And that's what we do. These are skits. I'm not sure if people realize that a lot of what we do on the show is just a skit. It's not what we think. It's just what we think might be funny at the time. So for quite some time now, I've been running skit is the quest for Humble and Fred into the Broadcast Hall of Fame. The fact that we're not in there is one of the true travesties in this confederation.
This dominion.
Since 1867. So I had this idea a couple days ago that it might, you know, sway the committee if you were to get some cancer. Not a big, not a...
Me.
Well, yeah. You're just a little older.
Yeah,
I could have said me, but I wanted to...
All right.
So, and it wasn't like terminal or anything. It was just like, oh, Fred's got a bit of the cancer, and well, we don't know what it is, but we better hurry up. We better hurry up. You know, it turned out to be something simple. A skin tag. Oh, it's nothing. It's a
eczema.
Thank you. Just nothing. No, so I thought we had some fun with it.
Yeah.
I thought.
And?
Well, so some of the feedback that we were given was positive.
Yes.
Some people say, hey, that was fun. Enjoyed the comedy.
Can't wait for chemotherapy.
Here's somebody who said, Humble, and this is on Twitter. Hey, Humble and Fred Radio, keep the cancer and chemo shtick coming. My second round of chemotherapy is next week, and I need all the laughs I can get.
Now,
That's somebody with cancer.
Right.
Who enjoyed the skit.
The bit.
Again, we're just doing bits.
Yes.
Well, I was even speculating yesterday saying, wouldn't it be awful or ironic or whatever the word would be that if a month from now I'd actually found out I did have some form of cancer, would I look back on this and go, see, we shouldn't have done that? No, I wouldn't. I'd say, we did that. That was then. This is now. Yeah. Big deal.
And now I'm
Big
a cancer
deal.
Boy.
Yeah.
On the other hand, so that was somebody with cancer saying I enjoyed the talk and it cheered me
right.
up. Because if you can't laugh, what do you do?
That's someone with cancer, but someone that knows a loved one suffering with cancer, maybe they would not receive it the same way.
For instance, this person.
Oh, really?
Said, gentlemen,
yes.
My husband has cancer.
Yeah.
This morning's show is difficult for me. And again, I can only say it's difficult for us too.
Taking the next breath is difficult for us.
And our husbands.
Remember, we're just skidding it up.
Well,
even the Sherpa was like, oh my God, man.
You know, my wife, we had this conversation yesterday, and she really didn't pass judgment on it, but I could tell that she wasn't big on it. And I think part of it was because she was imagining me, her Freddy boy, with the big C, and I think it made her feel uncomfortable.
Well,
but as I said to her, you know what the on-off switch is for, don't you, honey?
And she said to you, if you could find my on-off switch, we'd still...
Yeah.
After all these years, we'd have a look for it.
What do you mean, Big C? I haven't seen a Big C.
Okay. Well, there's some feedback. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that meant. Oh, actually, I did. I just got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's yesterday's show.
Man with big head says many weird things.
Oh, yes, he does. By the way, did you recognize that song I played?
That's Joe Jackson.
It is Joe Jackson. I thought you might know it. And Sherps, you know who Joe Jackson is, right? Stepping out.
Mm-hmm.
The Sherpa, at one point in Tim's career, he was managing Foot Lockers on the Prairies, which was also a Tragically Hip album. Foot Lockers on the Prairie. Did you ever work in Calgary?
Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Saskatoon, did it all.
So there was a, before the Calgary Flames played in, is it the Saddle Dome that they play in now?
Yes.
There was a smaller, because before Calgary
got, Corral.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The Calgary Hitmen, I think, is their AHL team or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was a small arena, and when they became an NHL franchise, they got the big arena.
Mm-hmm.
But in the small arena back in the early 80s, like it held like 6,000 people. I remember seeing Joe Jackson for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that kind of music. Ironically enough, never worked at a radio station that played it until I started working with you.
At CFNY.
At CFNY, which played a bunch of Joe Jackson.
Yeah. Is she really gonna win?
Love that song.
I'm sorry.
Is she really gonna take
is she really going out with him?
Oh, Bob Dylan. No, no.
Anyway, so that's yesterday's show. There's whenever the Eiffel Tower was built, I just have a trouble imagining that the people that built it, this great monument, would imagine that in the 2019s, there would be a zip line. Did you see this story, Phyllis?
I heard about it, yes. They're trying to
now,
find ways to...
I saw the article, in it's from CNN Travel, but they basically... To celebrate the French Open, tennis, it's already the most... Did you realize it's the most visited monument?
Oh, absolutely.
In the world?
Yeah, so when I was there, the line...
Even more than the Brampton Mandarin.
Oh, no
Like,
doubt.
Way more.
No, yeah, more.
More than that Brampton one. Mandarin is busy.
They should
I know. They should have a zip line across the 410 for that sucker.
Woo!
Because people are trying to get there. Most visited monument in the world, welcoming 7 million visitors every year.
Oh, yes.
But they've erected a zip line from the tower across the Champs-de-Mars, finishing at the L'École Militaire. Now, you've been there, right?
Yes, I have.
It's got to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. The Eiffel Tower?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, the structure itself, you're thinking, you know, it's old and it's different. But
underwhelming in a way.
Underwhelming, but when you're standing on the Eiffel Tower, you're standing there going, I'm on the Eiffel Tower.
That's
it really
right.
It really doesn't matter what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just seems tacky. You said it first. It seems a bit tacky, cheesy.
To have the zip line?
Yeah. The zip line.
No, I saw
the tower.
I saw it on the news last night. The first thing I said was, I hope this isn't permanent.
No.
Because it does seem odd. Of all the places you could have a zip line, that, I don't want to use the word sacred, but it might apply in this situation.
It's been there 128 years.
Mm-hmm.
Gustav Eiffel.
Gustav Eiffel.
Had apparently a secret apartment in the top of the tower, not open to tourists.
Oh, really?
But, you know, if Anne Murray wanted to visit or Joe Carter, they could easily get access because they're famous.
Yeah.
Have you ziplined? I'm not in a hurry.
No.
I don't
do anything like that.
No, I don't want a zipline. You know? Do you zipline, Georgetown, Sean?
Sean,
are you a zipliner? Have you ziplined?
I've done that thing.
What is the point?
It's really only for like mountains and stuff. I don't understand doing it at a CN Tower. And you're in a city. It's not a lot
they
of
don't zipline
nature
CN
views.
Town.
I border on Heart Lake Conservation Area, and they have a whole system there of they call treetop trekking.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, okay. It's all
that
in
makes
your
sense.
Zipline right across Heart Lake.
But hang on a second. Mm. So there's a zipline at the CN Tower?
No. I don't know. Isn't
well,
that...
Well, they probably shouldn't do that.
Hold on. No, you just said I wouldn't want a zip line.
I wouldn't want a zip line in the city or like
from
anything
the CN Tower
here or anything.
Yeah. I don't think they're ziplining from the tower. I don't think they're allowed to zip line.
They should
do that. At 3,000 feet
now
or whatever.
Now that I think about it, that'd be a great idea. That'd be the one reason I do go to the CN Tower, actually.
Anyway, it's there to celebrate the French Open. And it's only there for a couple weeks.
Well, the one thing about the Eiffel Tower, you know, the ziplining benefit here is at least you have a giant park right in front of it. The Champ de Mars is an old marching ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is enough space for the zipline to just all the way down to the ground. You can't do that with the CN Tower. It's in front of the lake.
You can't.
Of course not.
It's over the Gardner.
So you said like a zipline from the CN Tower to Hamilton.
That'd be awesome.
Yes, it would be.
Probably be quicker than the traffic.
No interest. I don't want anything that puts pressure on my discs. I just don't.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I'll watch somebody else do it.
Yeah, I've no interest. Okay.
There's a story here about a very lucky man. Coral Springs, Florida, goes into a restaurant, sits on the toilet, and a python jumps up and bites him.
In Florida.
Yes.
Or on his
Coral Springs, Florida, sits on a toilet in a restaurant, python jumps up and bites him. Why is he lucky? Because I started this by saying a very lucky man. Why is he lucky? Do you want to guess?
Okay, why is he lucky?
Because it bit him on the arm, not the bag. Can you imagine that? You sit down on a toilet, a python jumps up. Where do you think he's going to bite you? The lowest hanging fruit.
Well, how old was he? Because if he's our age, that fruit's hanging really low.
Was in the water.
those little things are hanging right down by the water. That python could have just nudged his head out of the water.
But this thing was about 4 feet long, curled up in the toilet. He didn't see it, sat down. It bites him. And he survived. And again, of all the places he could have been bit, it bites him on the arm. So there's a snake bite. A snake bite you're glad you got.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my arm hurts. Could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
Could have been on the kiwis.
Got my python.
Could have got the kiwis. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys, if you young guys don't even get what's happening with Fred and I. I don't know what happened. Just a couple years ago, all of a sudden, the kiwis are racing to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're dropping like coconuts, right?
Yeah, you take your underwear off and you go, what was that?
Yeah.
And then you finally realize.
I snagged my underwear in my sack.
Why do I have rug burn on the bottom of my sack?
All right. Oh, man. This is what's happening. You young people don't even get it.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You have no idea.
The other day, I saw that some guy on the back of his truck had those... Well, they're just balls.
Yeah, that hang off the back of the trailer hitch.
Exactly. And I saw it the other day, and like 10 years ago, I would have gone, oh, that's ridiculous. That's disgusting. Now I'm like, that's about right. That's about what they're looking like. They just started the trek downward.
That's right.
Feeling droopy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Your sack scraping the pavement. Oh. I know what that feels like.
Oh, my. All right. Listen, let's talk. Speaking of Hamilton, let's talk about Hamilton Film Studios. They're doing some great, great things in the city of Hamilton, for God's sake.
Yes.
Yes.
400 Wellington Street North in Hamilton, just outside of downtown Hamilton. 4,000 square feet of shooting space with another 2,000 square feet of support space coming next month. Just a few days, their huge green screen, which comes in handy, 2,000 square feet of retail and office space to support the studio. Any production shooting in or around Hamilton or Toronto, they've got everything you need. Go to HamiltonFilmStudios.com to contact them, and really, whatever you need, they've got it for you in Hamilton, and I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to do it in Hamilton than Toronto.
Yeah, man. Our newest client, we're really excited to welcome Ringside MD, is healthcare in your corner. How about this? The Burlington Clinic is now open 6 days a week, accepting new patients. A lot of people in Ontario looking for a place, and this is amazing. Female and male family doctors, walk-ins are welcome, on-site blood work and more. Ask about their peace of mind plan. It really is something. Visit and find out more at ringsideclinic.ca. Stop putting off that nagging. Stop nagging. Stop putting off that nagging health issue and book an appointment today. Ringsideclinic.ca. Ask about any of their services. It really is something else. And we're all going to be taking part in this peace of mind plan. We'll explain what that is in the days and weeks to come. Ringsideclinic.ca. Sean, is there a science story? I know yesterday somebody bid some bits.
Oh,
did they bite some bits?
No, we were waiting for bits to be donated. Oh. But I have had a couple of science stories up my sleeve for a couple of days now.
Uh-oh.
So,
all right.
Yeah, let's get going with at least one of those. One of them, just to say it's I've been waiting to say this. They're making cheese out of people's armpit sweat and bacteria.
They're doing who?
Yes.
Why would they do that?
Why would they do that? Because for some reason you can buy like celebrity sweat and you can buy stuff like celebrities, you know, throwing away garbage and trash and bacteria and all the fun stuff. So some scientists in London decided that this would be a good way to make some money, and you need bacteria to make cheese. So, they've developed five different kinds of cheese that will be on display in the art exhibition in West London.
Mm-hmm. I could handle a little Jennifer Aniston on a saltine, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the names, too. It kind of very obscure English people.
Oh, you can't choose?
Well, you got the right amount of money, I'm sure you can definitely choose anything.
The idea is that it's celebrity cheese?
Celebrity armpit cheese.
Celebrity armpit cheese.
Yes.
Wow.
That's some science for you right
there.
You
could have a little tiger on a taco.
Sure,
mm-hmm. Okay. And thanks very much today to Jason Lewis or from Rapidose, from Raheem Dalla from Hybrid Farm. Thanks very much to the Retirement Sherpa, marking the 66th anniversary of the Sherpa taking Sir Edmund Hillary up Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
Great to have Jennifer from JLM in here, and good to be with you all. We'll be back tomorrow. Are we doing 4 days this week?
Apparently.
What is going on? Man, this is like a real job.
And if you're watching the basketball game tomorrow night, check us out on Twitch. We're going to be hanging out, chatting. You can join us and have a bit of fun.
Sean and Justin?
Yeah, that's what he means by us.
Oh, no, we're not doing
it. Sean is a second personality.
No.
The Twitch guy.
Yeah, you can. We'll put a Twitch feed in our own houses. You can just watch us watch stuff. We won't say a word. All right, everyone. Phil?
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Strain Print, LFS Credit and Finance Solutions, Hamilton Film Studios, Palma Pasta, Cannabis Med Ed, and our newest sponsors, Freedom Construction and Development and Ringside MD. We broadcast to the world from the Humble and Fred Queensway National Broadcast Center. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.